Spannendes und Aktuelles aus der Pharmazie. Das ist der ACPharm Podcast. Herzlich willkommen, schön sind Sie da. Heute befassen wir uns mit dem Thema Biosimilars und wie die Anwendung und Substitution in der öffentlichen Apotheke erfolgen soll. Mein Name ist Simon Wittmer. Ich bin Apothekerin und Kursorganisatorin bei ACPharm. Mir gegenüber sitzt Professor Pascal Bonavry. Er ist Chefapotheker im Universitätsspital Genf, Hüsch, und hat viel Erfahrung im Umgang mit Biologika und Biosimilars. Schön, dass Sie da sind und sich Zeit nehmen für das heutige Gespräch. Wir führen das Gespräch auf Englisch und wechseln nun die Sprache. Welcome to the discussion about the topic Biosimilar Use and Substitution in Community Pharmacy with Professor Pascal Bonavry. My name is Simon Wittmer. I'm Educational Training Organizer at ACPharm and will moderate today's discussion. Since the 1st January 2024, pharmacists are allowed to initiate the switch from an originator to a biosimilar. The saving potential is huge. So far, we have an overspend of about 100 million Swiss francs per year. By 2030, the potential saving will continue to increase because numerous biologicals are approaching the expiry of their patents. Many of us ask the question, what do we have to consider when we are making substitutions in the pharmacy? In the University Hospital of Geneva, Hüsch, they switched already before 2024 to a larger extent to biosimilars. Professor Pascal Bonavry will enlighten us in the next half an hour on his experience and thoughts on this topic, and we have the chance to discuss the practical aspects. Professor Pascal Bonavry is chief pharmacist in the Hüsch and has a broad long-term experience in handling of biologicals and biosimilars. Hello, Mr. Bonavry.
Hello, how are you?
Hello. Thank you. Fine. And you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
So thank you for taking the time and for sharing with us the most important points for a switch from originators to biosimilars. So yeah, I'm very happy that you are here. And let's start with the first question about the topic. So it's a big success for pharmacists that we can initiate the substitution of biologicals. So why did it take so long for this step to come in Switzerland?
Yeah, you know, it's just a consequence of the evolution of knowledge about biosimilars. Because as you know, biosimilars are not exactly the same as originators. So it's a bit more complex than for generics. And we had to wait to get more data on the use of biosimilars. And last year, both the European Medical Agency and Swissmedic declared that the biosimilar can be considered as being interchangeable with their originator. And this is really the start of this change of the regulation. And we now have more than a decade of experience with the use of biosimilar in Switzerland and in Europe. And today we can really be quiet that we have a clinical equivalence and we do not have major safety issues because we have no signal in the pharmacovigilance declaration systems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yes, this declaration last year about interchangeability is a big success. And now it's possible for us that we initiate a switch to a biosimilar. So often I hear from my colleagues in daily work some uncertainties. So what challenges do you see when implementing the substitution in a pharmacy?
Yeah, probably that the main challenge is patient acceptance. Especially when you have patients with a chronic and disabling disease. Because for these patients, when they have a treatment and the treatment works, sometimes it's the second or the third treatment they received and they are now very happy that they have a good treatment to manage their disease. it's not so evident to convince them to switch to another one, because they will have a fear of loss of efficacy or maybe increased side effects. So this is really a challenge, and we will probably come back to the question of how to discuss that with the patients. The other challenge could also be the relationship with physicians, because physicians maybe have prescribed an originator, and it's also maybe quite new for a physician to use biosimilar. And I think it's very important to have discussions between a community pharmacy, physicians, to have a common strategy and to be aligned in the use of biosimilars.
Okay, yes, there are some challenges that we have to overcome with patients and also the physicians. So it's a lot of work. And what do you recommend? How can we overcome these challenges?
Yeah, I think the key point is really to take time to discuss with the patient and to explain what is a biosimilar is, to show that you propose a product with a similar clinical effect, both efficacy and safety, and with a lower cost. And you really must highlight this point, but really you have to take time with your patient. When you have a patient on biosimilar, the other important point is also to maintain them on the same biosimilar, because otherwise it's like for generic. If you change every time the biosimilar, it's probably confusing for a patient, and you have a risk of errors. You have a risk of loss of confidence. So yeah, the challenge is to switch the patient and then to keep him on the dedicated biosimilar.
So that's a big impact. The patient information is very important, and we need to have continuity. So, for example, different pens have a different kind of use, and this can be very confusing for the patients. So, it's a lot of work, and it's important to have this continuity. Yes, I agree with you. Thank you. So, the use of generics in is daily work for us pharmacists. So let's have a look to the biosimilars. How should we proceed when we want to initiate the substitution of a biological with a biosimilar? Do you have some advices?
Yeah, I think you have to be aware that for some patients it's not so evident to admit that the product will be equivalent. You all know in your daily experience that even for generics, you still have some patients who are reluctant to use the generics, who believe that it's not equivalent, that the efficacy is lower. So it will be the same for a biosimilar, I guess. So you have to analyze the motivation, the acceptance of your patient. And I really believe that if a patient is totally opposed, there is a high risk of non-adherence and treatment perseveration. So this is, of course, not the objective. So you really have to have this discussion with the patient. And maybe sometimes you have to avoid a switch if you really believe that you will have a negative result at the end. And you also have some patients who will tell you that they already tested the biosimilar. Maybe the physician at the hospital already proposed a switch. They accepted, and they had some problem, and they came back to the originator. And probably that for these patients, it will be more difficult to convince them. And you also have to respect that. And we will see later on that there are some reason to justify not to switch a patient. And the previous use of a biosimilar with a problem or perceive a lower efficacy, for example, can be a reason not to switch a patient. On the other way, the easiest situation is when you have a patient with the first prescription for a biological drug, because in this case, the patient has no experience with the originator. And it will probably be more easy to accept a biosimilar. So it's really important that you target to identify the patients who are starting this therapy, And probably that for this one, the fear of a destabilization of the treatment will not exist, and therefore it will be easier to switch them to propose a biosimilar. That's the experience we have in our hospital, because we systematically use biosimilar for the introduction of new therapies, and yeah, there is no issue for a patient when they stop a therapy to use a biosimilar.
Yes, this is the part of the patient. And how would you recommend communicating with the prescriber? Do we have to pay attention to something?
Yeah, if you look at the legislation, it requires that the prescriber, sorry, must be informed when the switch to a biosimilar has been introduced. So it's very important to do that. Again, you should be in confidence between the physician, you, the patient, and the communication of this information is very important to avoid a misunderstanding, because one day the patient will go back for a consultation to his physician, and if the physician is not aware that the product has been switched, he will probably give a bad message or have trouble with the patient, and maybe the patient will have some issues about the treatment. So information of prescriber is not only required, but it's very important to have a good collaboration between healthcare professionals and the patients. I also suggest to have a more general discussion, not only when you have a patient, but to have a more general discussions with the physician around your pharmacy or the specialists who are often prescribing this type of drug, just to try to have a common strategy for biosimilar use. Because if you have discussed with the physician, if they agree that for this type of treatment you can switch without any problem, it will probably be much easier to work and to accompany the patient on this way. Our experience is that most of the time physicians are not reluctant to switch to biosimilars, but they do not have the time to talk to the patient. So if you tell them that you can't take this time, I know that pharmacists also have time constraints, but nevertheless, if you say to the physician that you can take some time to discuss with the patient, I can imagine that they will be quite happy if you contribute to this discussion with the patients.
Okay, yes, the interprofessional work is very important. We see this
Really.
again and realize this always in daily work. That's really so. Are there some biologicals which should not be substituted in pharmacies without consultation to prescribing doctor in advance? So could you make a mistake by substitution in some situations? I'm thinking at this point of the anti-epileptic drugs, which cannot be easily replaced by generics.
Yeah, in my opinion, there are no such barriers, because actually the product we have as a biosimilars have a good therapeutic margin. So we are not in the same situation as with anti-epileptic drugs or anti-transplant rejection drugs. So to me, there are no clinical contraindication. There are only barriers related to patient preference of belief, or maybe to a reimbursement, especially when you are using the product in an off-label indication. But on a clinical point of view, to my opinion, there is actually no reason not to switch to a biosimilar.
Okay, thank you. That's important information for us. So, a biosimilar can have a different type of application compared to originator, and also the indication could be different. What do we need to consider regarding these facts?
Yeah, this is an important point, because for some of the drugs, there are many off-label use, and the physician has to obtain an authorization of the insurance to cover the cost of the drug. So it's important to verify if the indication is covered by the biosimilar. to avoid to introduce an off-label use. And most of the time, the biosimilars have the same indication as the originator indications, but in some cases they are marginal indications that are not immediately recognized for biosimilars. You know, it's a question of the protection of the application data. If a company develop a new indications, the data, so the clinical data for this indication are protected for 10 years. That's why it's sometimes there are some indications that are protected. It doesn't mean that the drug cannot be used. Of course, it's equivalent, but you will bring the patient to an off-label use, which could be problematic for their reimbursement. But it's really marginal, I would say, because if you compare the indications of the originators and the biosimilars for the major drugs, you will see that they are quite similar.
Okay, good. So sometimes patients show concerns regarding the substitution because the therapy is well established and very effective. So what are the key arguments in the discussion with a patient to convince him or her from the therapy with the biosimilar? Where are the most concerns of the patients coming from, and how to overcome these challenges in practice?
Yeah, the first point is probably that you have to remind to the patients that these therapies are very costly, and we all have responsibility to save healthcare costs when it's possible. And the use of a biosimilar is really an easy way to do it if you can convince the patients that the clinical effect is similar and the cost is lower. It is also important to explain that if you make the comparison with generic drugs, for biosimilar, we really have large clinical studies to prove the equivalence of the product. It is not only a bioequivalence study, but really clinical study head to head with the originator, and both the efficacy and the safety have been evaluated. So you have to use simple words to explain that to the patient, but it's important to say that these are not products were underdeveloped to be at lower cost, but we really have good clinical data and good evidence of the equivalence. We also have now more than 10 years of experience in Europe. We have really no significant problems in the pharmacovigilance declaration systems. And in some hospital, like in Geneva, we no more initiate treatment with originator. So, you know, it's today we have a good experience with this problem, with this topic. Sometimes, you know, we also see that at the hospital when we discuss with patients for a switch, they need sometimes to think about it. So they will tell you, okay, why not? But I'm maybe not ready today to switch to the biosimilars. And I think it's important not to force the patients to change. So you can maybe give some information to read. There are some very good leaflets that are available for that. Maybe he will wish to talk to his physicians. He will say, okay, I have to maybe to talk with my physician because I'm not sure he didn't talk about me about to me about this topic, so I have to maybe to take some time before to take a decision. So maybe try to have a first discussion and maybe have a second discussion the next time, and to avoid to force the patient to the switch. And maybe the last point is that you, if the patient is hesitating, you can always say that the switch is not definitive. If there is some problem with the biosimilar, it will always be possible to come back to the originator. So it's not a definitive risk. You know, there is always a possibility to change their opinion in the future. That are probably the key points you have to discuss with your patient.
Okay, yes. So as you mentioned again, patient information is very important. So I would like to add something. You talked about these patient leaflets. So there are patient leaflets from on the homepage biosimilar.ch. They are available in German, French, and Italian. And in the Hüsch, you have a French patient leaflet also available on the homepage. So additionally, there are different patient leaflets from pharmaceutical industry, and also ACFAM has a patient leaflet about biosimilars, which you can download if you book a course about biologicals and biosimilars. And so we see we have different sources for the patient leaflets and can use this in our education. So let's go on to a next question. So biologicals are often expensive, and the cost approval of the health insurance is necessary. Currently, when switching to a biosimilar, a cost approval must be obtained again from the insurance. What can you tell us about this fact?
Yeah, this is really an issue, but to my understanding of the new regulation, it should be solved soon because in the legislation it said that due to this interchangeability, if the authorization of an insurance has been given for originator or for biosimilar A, it is also available for another biosimilar. So it's not exactly what is applied. Beginning of this year, but to my opinion, it will be solved. So it is important to look at this point carefully to be sure that the coverage by the insurance will be maintained, has been obtained, as said before, that the indication is covered. But otherwise. It should be not be a barrier to a switch of biosimilar. I have the feeling that the insurances have the need to adapt a little bit to this newer legislation, and some authorization have been given last year. So maybe there is a small delay in the application of this new regulation.
Yeah, so we hope this will change soon because this will reduce a lot of work of all of us. This would be very important. So, according to the new regulation, a refusal of the substitution must be proven with facts. Pharmacists can generally refuse substitutions for medications with a narrow therapeutic range. Are there any biologicals that you generally not recommend to switch over?
Again, in my opinion, there is no medical contraindication to switch to a biosimilar, except a failure of a previous attempt of use of biosimilars. To me, the reflex of a community pharmacist is that every time a patient enters the pharmacy with a prescription for an eligible biological, substitution must be considered.
Okay. Another reason for rejection substitution is trying at least two different biosimilars with persistent side effects or insufficient effectiveness. Have you ever seen this in practice?
This is possible. Generally with drugs, we can always observe inter-individual differences in the answers, whatever the drug is. And on biosimilar, there is an important literature on the nocebo effect related to biosimilar switch. And if I come back to what we were discussing before, if you force the patient, if the patient is not convinced, it's possible that it will have the feeling that the biosimilar is less effective, for example, than the originator. For example, we have some patient with rheumatoid psoriasis saying that the duration of the effect is lower. Before they had an effect of their infliximab for 4 weeks, and now after 2 or 3 weeks, they have the feeling that the effect is lower. So you will have some such types of testimony. There is some literature really showing that it's probably more a nocebo effect than a real difference in the clinical effect. But nevertheless, If the patient really feels that his situation has worsened since the introduction of the biosimilar, it will be very difficult to keep it on biosimilar. So we have to take into account these human factors related to the use of drug and to the variability of perceived efficacy or safety.
So we have discussed already a lot of aspects and are nearly at the end of our discussion. Can you please summarize in a few sentences the most important aspects from your point of view regarding the substitution of biologicals in pharmacy?
First, I would say that there is no clinical contraindication to a switch, and you should really consider a switch for any prescription of a biologic for which you have an available biosimilars. The second point is that you must have the patient adoptions to this idea. If the patient is totally reluctant, it will be very difficult to have a good switch, or you will probably have problems in a few weeks with the patient saying that it's not effective. So to have this patient adoption, you have to take time. You have to discuss with the patient to explain what a biosimilar is. The third point is that you have to take care to the reimbursement conditions, just to be sure not to bring the patient to an uncovered situation. And the last point is that the use of biosimilar is also something relatively new for physicians, and it is really important to establish dialogue between pharmacists and physicians around biosimilar use. And to me, it's probably a very interesting topic for quality circles, for example. It should be something that is on the agenda of the quality circles to exchange experience and to have a common strategy to deal with this switch. And finally, do not forget that you have to inform the physician when you have successfully switched a patient to biosimilars.
Thank you. That's a good summary of our discussion and pointed again out that patient education and also the interpersonal work, for example, in quality circle, is very important for us. So thank you very much for this interesting discussion. So you pointed out some important aspects for our daily work. We hope this will help in the daily implementation of biosimilar use and reduce the costs for the therapies. So thank you very much for your time, Mr. Bonnary, and sharing of your experience.
You're welcome, and good luck for the switch of biosimilars.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Liebe Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer, ich hoffe, dass Sie das Gespräch mit Pascal Bonnary aktiv und interessiert verfolgt haben und viele praktische Tipps für eine Substitution von Referenzprodukten durch Biosimilars in der Apotheke mitnehmen können. Das Einsparungspotenzial durch den Einsatz von Biosimilars wird in den nächsten Jahren weiter zunehmen. Wir können aktiv etwas zur Reduktion der Gesundheitskosten beitragen. Nehmen wir unsere Rolle im interprofessionellen Team wahr und vertiefen dazu unser Wissen rund um Biologika und Biosimilars. Heute haben wir von Professor Bonnary wichtige praktische Aspekte für unseren Alltag bekommen. ACFAM hat einen Lehrgang Biologika und Biosimilars im Kursangebot. Neben einem Grundlagenmodul gibt es indikationsspezifische Module, wo die Themengebiete detailliert mit Spezialisten besprochen werden. Hier können Sie Ihr Wissen zum Thema vertiefen. Weitere Informationen zu diesen Kursen finden Sie auch auf unserer ACFAM-Homepage. Wir freuen uns, Sie bald an einem Kurs begrüßen zu dürfen. Und ich bedanke mich ganz herzlich, dass Sie heute beim Podcast dabei waren. Und bis bald wieder. Auf Wiedersehen.